Transtorm.
Our final topic, picked by you, dear listeners, earlier in a poll on our Facebook page, is Afghanistan. Is Moscow the key to peace? Focusing on how Russia might finally be able to mediate an end to the war. The six-party talks that took place in Moscow this week represented an unprecedentedly broad and uniquely multipolar approach to resolving the long-running war on Afghanistan. This is the first time that Russia, China, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, and India all got together in trying to hash out a solution to the conflict. While some observers scoffed at the large amount of independent players invited to the consultations and questioned whether anything could come out of such a meeting, others applauded the initiative for gathering all the most relevant Eurasian stakeholders in one place and breathing new life into what's bound to be a prolonged political process. One of the most interesting ideas that had been floated prior to the Moscow summit was de facto recognition of the Taliban as a legitimate political actor and an indispensable on-the-ground force in fighting Daesh, though this hasn't been without its share of wild mainstream media speculation and fear-mongering. U.S. media outlets started fanning the flames of hysteria at the end of last year by alleging that Russia had somehow decided to ally itself with the Taliban, deliberately misconstruing and incompletely reporting the words of Russian special envoy to Afghanistan, Zamir Kabulov, who confirmed that there was low-level contact between the two and had extolled the group's present anti-Daesh function. The Western-produced fake news of the time was meant to coincide with an earlier Moscow summit at the end of December between Russia, China, and Pakistan, which paved the way for the latest six-party meeting that just took place. The visible trend that's been recently emerging is that the tripartite partnership between Moscow, Beijing, and Islamabad is expanding its conflict resolution functions to incorporate Tehran and New Delhi, two important countries which also have a deep-seated interest in Afghanistan. Noticeably, however, the U.S. was excluded from both formats, showing that despite its prolonged military presence in the country, there doesn't seem to be much enthusiasm in bringing it on board this incipient process at this very moment. That's not to say that the U.S. won't have a seat at the conference table sometime in the future, but just that right now, this is a Eurasian-owned framework, which hopes to overcome the prior stalemates that occurred every time the U.S. organized such talks, and hopefully lead to a positive breakthrough this time around. So right now, beginning this segment, we're joined by Mr. Imdad Hussein. He's an Islamabad-based journalist specializing in foreign affairs, issues of terrorism, and Afghanistan.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Mr. Hussein, how have the two Moscow summits, both the one in December between Russia, China, and Pakistan, and the recent six-party talks which just took place, how have they changed the conflict resolution paradigm in Afghanistan?
First of all, Afghanistan, mission in Afghanistan had two aspects. One was the militancy, the second was the regional politics among the regional countries. For example, the differences between Pakistan and India do affect situation in Afghanistan. Similarly, the clash of interest among the regional countries, for example, between Iran and Pakistan, sometimes creates doubts about each other that affect the situation in Afghanistan. Now, sometimes it is blamed that folks war is going on in Afghanistan, so it would have effect on the supply line to the, for example, militancy is there, but its continuation is possible if the supply line, arms, sanctuaries, and others, things are cut off from the militants. So definitely it would affect the peace process in Afghanistan. Andrew?
Yes. How productive of a result do you think this new type of diplomacy will be towards Afghanistan? I mean, this is, if I understand it right, this is the first time that Russia has really decided to get back involved in Afghanistan ever since the Soviet war. And now it's front and center organizing a series of multilateral talks. So what do you think is Moscow's motivation in this, and how effective do you think it will ultimately be?
The positive aspect is that at present Russia have good relation with Islamabad, with Tehran, and with New Delhi, and at the same time with the Beijing. It is something different from the past when Pakistan and Russia were not good friends. They were not at good terms. But still, problems are there. For example, in last April, when the Indian foreign minister visited Moscow, she raised concern about the Islamic outfits like Jaish-e-Mohammed in Moscow. And similarly, as Pakistan and India still have differences over the issue of terrorism. So in short term, it is not possible to bring all these countries on the same page. However, all the countries are feeling the needs for peace in the region, and finally Moscow would succeed in getting all the countries on the same page. But one thing is very important which Moscow must consider, and that is, has doubts about the U.S. intentions in Afghanistan. At least the people in this region have no doubt about the doubts of Moscow and the role of the U.S., the concerns of the Moscow or the role of the U.S. Pertaining to the Daesh and operations in Afghanistan. So this is the issue that Moscow must first bilaterally discuss the issue with the U.S. at the U.N. level and then come to the regional problem, because that is a big power and it has some influence in New Delhi at the moment. For example, in Kabul, it is more influential. So such efforts would finally prove counterproductive, or I would say that it would face difficulties if all the powers, including China, America, Russia, India, Pakistan, Iran, would not come on the same page.
We're joined by Mr. Imdad Hussain. He's an Islamabad-based journalist specializing in foreign affairs, issues of terrorism, and Afghanistan.
Trendstorm.
Okay, yeah, one of the latest changes that observers have noted is that Russia has been getting a lot closer with Pakistan, and at the same time, Russia appears to be open to the idea of having an inclusive political settlement in Afghanistan that would result in talks with the Taliban and perhaps, you know, might even go further in order to counter Daesh and ISIS. So how important do you think these two changes have been, and are they interlinked? Is Russia's newer approach with Pakistan interlinked with its changing attitude towards a settlement in Afghanistan?
First of all, we should look into the convergence of interests of Russia with the regional countries. For example, Russia is part of the idea of interconnectivity of Central Asia with the South Asia, which is being desired by the China, India, and Pakistan as well. This is the first convergence. The second convergence is that Daesh are posing threats to the whole area, stretching from Central Asia to the South Asia. For example, you know, established their bases in the northern Afghanistan, which is posing threats to the Central Asian countries. And in the last few days, they distributed some pamphlet in the Pakistani tribal areas, threatening attacks here. Similarly, it is potential threat to the China and India as well. So there is convergence of interest at same, and the Russia efforts would get some success. But finally, the problem would be there if the regional countries, for example, issues between India and Pakistan is not solved, or issues between America and Russia vis-a-vis Afghanistan is not being solved. And you.
Okay, thanks very much, and thank you for sharing everything with us. We appreciate it. Now we're joined by Mr. Taya Baloch. He's also an Islamabad-based journalist. He is a writer at Katehan and a reporter at Abtak TV.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Taya, you know, Moscow just got done hosting its second summit on Afghanistan, and the U.S. was once again uninvited. So how much of a difference in both practical and symbolic terms do you think it makes that Washington did not have a seat at the table?
In fact, Moscow has not invited Washington. Yes, this is good to see, and it reflects the wisdom of Kremlin, because Washington participation means no peace in Afghanistan. As previous record witnessed that how America has supplied four-country peace talks with Taliban. Those talks were headed by Washington itself with the participation of China, Pakistan, and the Taliban. But when U.S. observed that China is taking advantages of these talks for Afghanistan Silk Road initiative, so it chosen to sabotage peace talks. First time Those talks were derailed by America through announcing the death of Taliban chief Mullah Omar. And second time, when talks were in final stage, U.S. killed Mullah Akhtar Mansour, the chief of Taliban after Mullah Omar, near Iran border in Pakistan's Balochistan province. So this continuous American attempts to sabotage peace process have persuaded Russia to come forward and seek alternative solution bypassing the U.S. and NATO, because buffer zone in Afghanistan under the umbrella of NATO ISAF forces has become safe haven for all regional extremist and terrorist groups. Actually, Washington's dishonesty regarding peace process has given a chance to Russia to lead region towards peace by seeking common solution of Afghanistan on a table. In my view, Moscow deliberately kept Washington uninvited because Kremlin knows very well that peace in this entire region is directly connected with the peace in Afghanistan, while Russia is fully aware that why America has refused to leave Afghanistan and how they are posing new threat in the form of Islamic State of Khorasan branch in Afghanistan and region. Therefore, Russia has taken a driving seat to save region from this new threat. Maybe in future, after constituting a complete roadmap, Russia will inform U.S. and its ally NATO. Once NATO rejected Russian bid to include CSTO, Central Asian Security Bloc, for peace initiatives in Afghanistan, but now situation has totally changed. Russia is driving Afghan van without U.S. and NATO.
Okay, well, if we look at the U.S., we see that the U.S.'s mainstream media has been abuzz with a bunch of fake news, saying that Russia has allied itself with the Taliban, and they're basing this off of words by Special Envoy to Afghanistan's Amir Kabulov by twisting around what he said and trying to make it seem like Moscow is using the group as a proxy against American troops there, although this is, of course, not the case. Nevertheless, we know that Moscow did reveal that it does have channels of communication open with the Taliban and shares anti-Daesh and intelligence with it. So how do you explain this new and somewhat unexpected relationship? How far does it go, and what are its future prospects?
As we know, Daesh presence in Afghanistan has become common threat for all region, while Russia, who is already fighting war with the Daesh in Syria, has more concern over Daesh presence in Afghanistan because it has posed direct threat to the homeland of Shanghai Cooperation Organization, SCO. Besides this, from former Soviet states, 1,000 militants went to Syria by joining Islamic State ideology. Therefore, before jump in Syria against Islamic State, Russia on the platform of regional security organizations, CSTO and SCO, has built a database for such terrorists and such terrorist organizations. While Zamir Kabulov is most experienced Russian diplomat who understands very well the deep roots of Afghan insurgency and Taliban support in masses, during his long stay in Kabul as a criminal representative, Zamir Kabulov closely monitored the rising of Daesh in Afghanistan. Last year, in his interview, he warned all regional countries about the unexpected growth of Daesh militants, as he said that there are now more than 10,000 of ISIS fighters in Afghanistan. A year ago, there was 100, and these are growing rapidly day by day. Kabulov also notified that the Afghan branch of ISIS is definitely specialized against Central Asia, where Russian is a working language. So they are trained against Central Asia and Russia. Therefore, for Russia, Daesh is a main threat, and for Taliban, Daesh is their rivalry extremist group. So on this point, both have same common enemy. In fact, the Daesh is fighting with Taliban to turn Afghanistan into Islamic branch of Khorasan. Many clashes between Taliban and Daesh are on the record. So in Afghanistan, Taliban has appeared only resistance force against Islamic State threat. Actually, U.S. and NATO, despite the complete destruction of Afghanistan, have failed to win against Taliban. That's why now they are promoting ISIS against Taliban, while drug money of Afghanistan is using in the funding of Daesh. reality is totally different. The Kabul government has no stronghold over all Afghanistan and has no capacity to fight against Daesh. Common Afghanis see Taliban as a safeguard from Islamic State. That's why Afghan people put pressure on government to talk with Taliban so that threat of Islamic State would be eliminated. In this situation, Russia has no chance only to accept its old hui, I mean Taliban, as a new friend by reading the writing on the wall. Afghan current regime is much close to West, and Russia cannot directly assist pro-West Afghan government against ISIS because West is behind the rise of ISIS to achieve their geopolitical objectives in the heartland of Eurasia. Although Russia has offered its shoulder to Afghanistan on the platform of Collective Security Treaty Organization, Russia is using every option to save the region from militancy, hence why it has built contacts with Taliban. Taliban has a reality and direct stakeholder of Afghanistan. Therefore, without bringing them on board, peace cannot be prevailed in the region. Forget the American media fake news. They always propagate against Russia. We have to look at the reality. And reality is this, that the only Taliban has potential to overcome the Islamic State. So Russia played wisely by inviting all regional countries on peace table by convincing them that Taliban is a real stakeholder and talk with Taliban can give a solution.
Okay, Tayyabov, thanks very much. And as always, we're happy to have you on our show.
Trendstorm.
So if we think about what both of our guests said, we can conclude that what happened in Moscow is very important, but just like the Astana conference, this is just the beginning. It's the first step. It's a parallel process, and it's going to take some time to see some real dividends, some real outcomes, but it's a very positive first step, and I think that we should all applaud what happened in Moscow, and we should keep our eyes on this process and see what's going to happen with it in the future. So guys, if you want to sound off on what you think about this topic and share your thoughts about it with us, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. And with this, we end this week's edition of Trendstorm, brought to you by Radio Sputnik. It was presented by me, Andrew Kripko. Thank you for listening, and take care.